You have the passage on your sheet. It's taken from the Epistle of James and the third chapter, and it's entitled Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is in itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who've been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. Roberto, would you like to come up? So, Father, this morning as we open your word, I pray that you will anoint your servant, that he may speak the words that you want your church to hear this morning. So open the eyes of our heart, Lord, and give us attentive ears to listen and a heart ready to obey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's not an easy passage to take. In fact, one of the great things about expository preaching is that you have to go through the book. You know, and we pastors, we normally like to take those passages which are easy to handle and they are encouragement and it's great and it's beautiful and we tell you how much God loves you and all these things. But expository preaching puts you in a position that you have to take sometimes and tackle issues which are difficult to tackle and sometimes are unpleasant. This is one of them. I wouldn't have chosen this passage. I think I only preach once in my life, because it's like, it's so difficult. Nevertheless, here you are. Thank you, Janet. I'm not going to add any more, Janet. Thank you very much for your card. This is a very important card. I'm going to keep it because it comes from you, from the Wednesday congregation for my birthday, which was at the beginning of October. And it's a very important birthday. I never thought I will reach retirement, 65. When I saw my father retire at 65, I thought, oh, he's an old man. Now when I reach 65, I'm still young. Anyway, that's another story. So thank you very much for your card. Now, the book of James is not a very... It's not a very easy book to read because it really impacts each one of us. It's so powerful, it's so down to earth. When you read Paul, Paul is a theologian, so you read Paul as a theologian. Great ideas, fantastic display of theology. When you read James, is a pastor with his feet down to earth. The examples are so powerful. You may forget the sermon, but you will never forget the examples. So he's a good pastor with down-to-earth feet. And especially this book of James, the apostle touches those areas of our lives as Christians that we find incongruences, inconsistencies. And that's why it's difficult to read. Because you think, well, on one hand, yes, we are dealing with believers, and on the other hand, we are dealing with those areas in our lives which really don't match. So we have this tension between, yes, we are believers, yes, we have faith, yes, we praise God, and at the same time, there are things in our lives which don't see in any way that we are true believers. These inconsistencies, these things which crash with each other. So when I read the book, I think, wow, you know, it really is punching hard here. You know, he's telling me the truth. And sometimes, very often, God speaks with the truth in areas of our life that we don't want to hear, we don't want to listen. The light of the Word of God shines too powerful in this passage. Now, there are many areas in life which we all fall, but I will say that our desire to be teachers, our desire to speak to others, to tell them what to do or not to do, is something that we all do very often. We all like to talk, but no, it's not so easy to listen. God has given us two ears and only one mouth. I wonder why. Listen to twice as much as you speak, I will say. Especially we, vicars and pastors, we like to talk. I mean, that's so obvious. We like to be in the pulpit, and we will, if you allow us, we will just go on forever. You know, we have studied the subject, we've been in our study for hours, and we know so much about the subject that we just go on and on and on. In one occasion, I hope nobody listens in Spain about this. In one occasion, I asked one of the elders of the church to talk. But I said, look, you know, just be careful. I mean, this is a conference. And I knew that this man liked to talk very much. I said, look, you know, it is very important that we don't go over the limit. Okay? So we have 45 minutes for a sermon, which is long enough. And if you go beyond that, I assure you that I'm going to ask the lady who plays the, or it was the man in that case, who plays the organ, the man is going to start playing the organ, you know? And he thought I was joking. So anyway, we start the conference, church is packed of people, and he goes on and on and on and on. And it came to the point that I think, yeah, I'm going to stop this. You know, this is just too much. I mean, he's inflicting a punishment to the congregation. You know? So I gave the little sign to the organist, and he began to play very gentle, very gentle. And anyway, finally, he got the message. We all like to talk. We all like to be listening, but, you know, but I think it's so important that we just stop and listen. There is a word of warning here for us teachers. It's not for you. The warning is for us, teachers, pastors, vicars. That because we talk and we tell other people what to do, and we give people the counsel of God, we have an enormous responsibility. And this responsibility, God will take it into account. And it's for teachers that we will be judged more strictly than the members of the congregation. The judgment here of God is not a judgment for, obviously, to lose your salvation. But yes, of course, God will take into account the way we teach, whether we really teach the Word of God faithfully. Because in our way of teaching, we can lead people astray. But also, we will be judged by Jesus Christ himself, because what we teach, it is ingrained in us. I mean, we cannot say, I didn't know. How can we say I didn't know if I preach on the subject 2, 3, 4, 20 times in my lifetime? So that's why Jesus said, you know, be careful teachers, be careful pastors. How do you teach other people my word? Because you will be judged. It's a very strong word for us. Now also, it's one of the human weaknesses I have checked in all my life as a pastor for the last 30 years. In fact, this is our 30th year, is that we like to talk, and we like to talk, and we like to talk. If you really want to know true spirituality, if we really want to know who is a true spiritual man or woman, you will only check that test through the way that person speaks. That's the final test of spirituality. How do you use your tongue? That's the test of true spirituality. Know how much we know about the Bible. For I know people who know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know how to control the tongue. So this is, again, it's another word of warning to each one of us. True spirituality is the way we use our tongue. Of course, we all make mistakes. That's what the apostle says. Yes, we all make mistakes. None of us can control our tongue 100%. Otherwise, we will be perfect, and there are no perfect people. So we all make mistakes. Is this a sign that I should finish? It's true. This is so funny. James is a fantastic teacher because he uses visual examples. Some of them are positive and some of them are negative examples. Positive examples, if you have a horse, a young, strong horse, a race horse, you can control it by a tiny little thing in his mouth. You can make him to do whatever you like to do. If you have a sheep, you know, you are also control it, you know, and you can turn with the rudder to one side or the other, even in big, strong winds. So it's encouraging us that we can do great things and control our lives and control the lives of others through the way we use our tongues. But also he has very strong words about the tongue that is like a fire. Just a little spark and you can have a massive fire. I have seen congregations being destroyed by the tongue. Something starts somewhere and begins to grow, and when you realize, I mean, wow, what is going on here? There's a fight between two factions of the church on an issue that created only by a very small, tiny thing. But the whole thing begins to develop because I go and I tell something to my wife, and I go something to Janet, and Janet will tell to somebody else, and Janet will add just a tiny little piece of her interpretation of what I say. And then it goes to Kate, or it goes to Nick, or it goes to whatever, and it adds a little bit more, just a tiny word of interpretation. And when it finishes, it's so far away from what I said at the beginning. I have seen families being destroyed by the tongue. Great conflicts between families through the tongue. Now, as well as the tongue, we use internet. Let me tell you, this is a brilliant one. This is brilliant. This was in another church in UK, and there was somebody who disagreed with another lady. There was two ladies disagreeing with each other, and they used internet to get in contact with everybody they knew. to tell them how bad or what a mistake the other person has done. So this goes, the one message, and in 1 second of the click in internet, it goes to 20, 30 people. And they do it and they send it to another 20, 30 people. So within minutes, probably around 80 people will know about the subject. Obviously, it was sent to the wrong person because also the other lady received the message. And also me as a pastor, I received the message as well. So within minutes, you have two big groups of people confronting each other, having complete different opinions about one subject. So I have to go to one lady immediately by car and I speak and say, look, please stop now. Don't send any more messages. Immediately I took my car and I went to see the other lady. Stop messages right now. Don't send anything. Don't say anything. And then I went immediately again, all this in the same morning, to the first lady. And I said, look, please, will you recognize that there are things which you have said that which are not right? And also this other lady also has very good positive things about her. Oh, yes, of course. And then I went to the other lady and did exactly the same. There are things, positive things about this other lady that you are criticizing. Don't you understand that? Again, imagine I had not intervened immediately. What could have happened? How the whole thing gets more and more poisonous. Yeah? More poisonous. This is very difficult to stop. And he used this idea of fire that it starts is very small, and then when you realize it's destroying a whole forest. And this fire is fire by hell. So what he's saying is that really underneath the fire is more than words. There's a spiritual fire that is started by hell. Also use the idea of this poisonous fountain. In our house in Spain, we have a well, and every so often we have to take an example of water and take it to a lab to be tested. Because if you don't realize, there can be some filtrations of water, dirty water, into the well, and when you don't realize, you can poison yourself. So we have to do some checks. This is very useful for us. Would it be a good idea that from time to time we do some checks on our fountains? Would be a good idea that from time to time we choose somebody we trust, somebody with true spiritual maturity, to say, look, how do you think I'm using my tongue, my conversations? Do you detect that there is something in the way I relate to people, in the church or in the family? I say things, the way I use my tongue, the way I use my mouth. Is my mouth in any way poison? Because sometimes we don't know. I mean, the water that comes out of the well of my house is always clean to my eyes. But when you do a specific test, they will tell you that there is poisonous. So from our perspective, what we say is good. But what about from somebody else's perspective, outside us? Can that person tell us whether we are using our tongue properly? Whether we are wise in the way we confront situations? Words are extremely important in life. The words of Jesus brought life, wisdom. The words of the Bible brings life, wisdom, direction. What about the words of a dictator like Hitler? It brought hate towards the Jewish nation. It brought death, war, destruction. So in our words, we have power. This is what Proverbs says about the words. Gracious words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. That's beautiful, isn't it? We have all experienced this feeling of somebody comes with a nice word and really it's so sweet, it's so good, it's so healing. Proverbs says, listening to gossip is like eating food in bad condition. They go down into the most inmost parts. Dear brothers and sisters, what James is saying is that words matter. There's enormous power in our mouths, in our tongues. Words matter. Proverbs 18 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. There is one of these incredible inconsistencies in our lives, that we come one Sunday or now and we worship God with our tongues. And probably in 5 minutes later, or this afternoon or tomorrow, we use exactly the same tongue to criticize somebody or to say something which is unpleasant to somebody. Is it possible? It is. How do you know, preacher? Because I've done it. Because sadly, I have done it. So I'm talking through experience. With age, and that's something of the good things that come with age, is that you've seen so many mistakes done in your life. If you look back, if you go down memory lane, and all of us who have 65 years or older, there's quite a lot of mileage behind, we realize all the mistakes we have done. And if we are sensitive to the word of God, we can say, yes, I have done this and that and that. And I hope and I pray, Lord, may it not happen again. So with age, one of the good things about age is that in theory, we should be wiser in the way we use our tongues. Because we have seen the damage done. We have experienced ourselves the damage done. And we have also experienced the damage we have done to other people outside us. So may the Lord give us the grace and the wisdom to use our tongues wisely. For we have the power to bring life and the sad power to bring death. And the Lord will judge us. So may the Lord bless us all.